Hallelujah. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Our hearts are expressly open. Fill us with your word. No life remains the same this morning as we feed from you, as we feed from your table. Oh, glory to you. Oh, glory to you. Oh, glory to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To you we give all the praise. Making us champions, better versions than we have ever been. Thank you. Thank you. Take these lips of clay. Speak to us, Lord, this morning in the way you will, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly this morning, let's look at God's word. Men at work. I remember growing up, every time we see instructions on the road, construction site and all that, you will see men at work. Many times they are not there, but you see the instructions clearly, men at work. Sometimes they are probably somewhere eating. You will see fine aggregate, coarse aggregate, you see all the things they work with. You will see like granite there, you will see sand, you will see all stuffs there. Their machines could probably be there. But sometimes they are not there. Hallelujah. This morning when Sister Remy was praying, was leading the prayer session, when she read from Psalm 133, 2 and 3, what jumped at me when we were praying was harmony and direction. Hallelujah. And this we see when we take up the mandate God has given us and we run with it. You know, there's a mandate God gave us in the book of Matthew, talking about going out into the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing men in the name of the Lord, hallelujah, and getting them filled with the Spirit of God, hallelujah. It's a mandate that's given to us. winning souls, reaching out to people. Hallelujah. That was what jumped at me. The only way we can do that is when we go, when we do it in harmony and with clear direction as instructed from the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just wrote that down somewhere. I said, no, I must touch on it. Hallelujah, because it blessed me this morning. Amen. So, men at work. I saw a skit. So this guy, you know, all these jokes that people do. So this guy was taking instruction from one baba, and the baba had told him to mix the concoction the baba gave him before he left. So when he got home, he was on the phone and he was telling the baba, say, baba, I don't mix the thing. So the baba said, okay, you don't mix. I say, put some more water. I say, okay, put water. Baba say, okay, pour it for your mouth. And then he poured it in his mouth. As he poured it in his mouth, don't forget, he was on the phone talking with the baba. As he poured it in his mouth, the baba, before the baba could talk, you know, immediately he poured it in his mouth. He had swallowed it. Because he had to tell the baba, baba, so what's next? Baba say, not swallow ramo. He said, ah, baba, I swallowed it too. Baba say, if you swallow, you'll die. Yo. He said, ah, baba, you have killed me. Yo. And I laughed. And funny enough, that's what many people do today. You can't be ahead faster than the one who is giving you instructions. Amen. May God help us in Jesus' name. Many times you see all manner of ituno. Someone was talking about it some time ago. He was teaching about some things that happen even on, if you go to some platforms now, what you see, people just want to discredit and say all manner of stuff. No, but we bet our lives on the truth that we know. Hallelujah. Yes, Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. It's a long read from verse 1 to 52, but I won't bore you with all that. I will just go to some points that are very relevant to what we'll be talking about this morning. So, in the book of Acts chapter 13, let's first of all look at verse 2. So in verse, yes, he said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Amen. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now go over to verse 8. When you get home, you can read the whole of it. But for emphasis, we just... Verse 8, it said, but Elimas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Flip over to verse 17. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. 18, now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. 20, after that he gave them judges for about 450 years. How many years? 450 years. Until Samuel the prophet. So you see that these things that happen, like Pastor Moya will always read from Romans 15:4. These things were written for our learning. So these things didn't just happen overnight. It's easy when we are saying it that, okay, he led them from the land of Israel. He did this, he did that, and then he brought them into another. It didn't just happen. It's not something that just happened swiftly. These things took time. Hallelujah. Thank God for what Seth Man was sharing this morning about how that the scriptures took how many? Over 40 authors, about 66 books, and it took over 1,500 years to put all of that together. 1,500 years. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going somewhere. So verse 21. And afterwards they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. 23. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now flip to 33. And he said, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Amen. 39. And by him, everyone who believes is justified. By who? Jesus. Everyone who believes is what? Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them. Might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Then, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. These were the same people who supported Paul and Barnabas the first time they read the, earlier on what we read, I think the earlier part, there was a place where the scrolls were read, the books of the prophets and the laws were read by Paul and Barnabas when they were in the synagogue, and these people gave their support. But now, the reverse is the case. Okay? They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me just read 50 to 52. It says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. We're looking at God's word on men at work. If you ask many people, how many people around you have you been able to preach God's word to? How many people around your place of work? How many people around your life? How many of your in-laws? How many of your relatives have you been able to boldly tell about this thing that you believe? Many, we have all sorts of excuses, all sorts of legitimate excuses. My brother, leave that one. No, you don't like God. You don't matter what you talk, just leave him. So the excuse Paul and Barnabas dust their feet and went to the people that needed the gospel, the Gentiles. Hallelujah. You cannot, one of the reasons why we gather as God's people and come to church is not so we can, it's not so that we gather informations, hear God's word, even though you're growing, and then just be a good or a better you, just for you. No, no, no. There are lives you have been destined to reach out to. There are lives that are tied to you. Even in marriage, you are not alone. You are married to someone else, right? Good. You have brothers and sisters. You have relatives. At work, you don't work alone. You have people around you. These people are positioned in your life for a reason. And when we're talking about men, we're talking about both women and men. That's how the scripture puts it. So we are men at work. We have a work to do. We have a job to do. And what is that? We must carry on the work. We must carry on. We must run with that which has been given to us to do. Non-stop. We must continue to do it. Thank God for the movie we watched yesterday. It was a great blessing. How many of us were here yesterday? If you weren't here, you missed greatly. That movie was a blessing. I just want to watch it over again. It's a huge blessing. There's something you can see. You can't gather all you can and then can all you get and sit on the can. No, 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 no. You have to bless lives. Hallelujah. You have to bless lives. There are people hungry around you. You need to reach out to them and bless them and be a blessing. And be a blessing. Hallelujah. If you sit in a place, so many of us, we are good. On our own, we are good. We hear God's word. We speak in tongues. We are filled with the Spirit of God. But because you are what do you call people who work alone? A lone ranger. People cannot be blessed by you. People don't even know that you have the capacity to solve the problem that they have. You say, no, I just like to keep my space, maintain my space. I don't want any wahala. Mm-mm. Reach out. There wouldn't be a diary in church today if pastor was just there at work and just minding his business and not reaching out to somebody. And there won't be a Sunday today in church. Are you getting the point? So there's a reason why God placed you in a place. Amen. Sister Blessing, who invited you to church? How did you come to SGA? So you too have an assignment to reach out to somebody, to another, and that person also reach out to another person. Hallelujah. That's it. Because with all that you get, so when Setman stands here, or Pastor Moyiwa stands here, and he's preaching, you're like, wow, what a blessing. And you're writing, and if he never gave out what he had, or what he has gathered, he had a father also, a spiritual father, who nurtured him, grew him in God's word, and then now he's also a blessing to somebody. You too, don't just gather for yourself and just keep it there. No, reach out. Hallelujah. Turn to the next person, tell the next person to you, tell the person, reach out. Tell the next person, reach out. Be a man at work. Yes, we are men at work. I think in Nigeria, we operate a policy that says, no work, no pay. If you don't come work, they will pay you. No. And there's reward for this work. In case you don't know, there's reward, though. Aside the blessing, God bless you, God bless you, that pastor is telling you, there is reward. Amen. Some of the rewards, you will get them here. This is not what they say, teachers. They say, teacher. This is not teacher's reward that they say is in heaven. In God's work, there's reward here. I'll tell you some of the rewards I've gotten. My life is better today because it's my life. The way it is today, the way they suit me, never even reach. But it's one of the reward. That I enjoy good health. I saw one guy. We went to same secondary school. So I bumped into him somewhere here in Lagos. That guy is somebody from Delta State. How he discovered the joint around, I don't know. He used to smoke back then in school, secondary school. They were these guys who do big boys. And then the, you know, class is on. They are joints, smoking. He has graduated. It's not cigar now. Merely seeing him, when I met him, he looked twice older than me. These things that are being preached, it's not because you are doing God a favor. It's also for your blessing. My wife was asking me, are you sure that guy was in your class? He looked twice older than me. Lifestyle. So I've enjoyed good lifestyle because of the word. Hallelujah. You need to see this guy. Was looking unkempt, was looking, see his eyes, see, was looking, smelling weed and all manner of stuff. So the word does, it's not, there's a whole lot it does in your own life. And then your life becomes an advert point for the next person. Praise the Lord. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. What did he tell us? The dearly beloved, building up yourself, what? In your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's another thing again I've enjoyed. Ability to pray in the Holy Ghost has helped me a whole lot because there are things I didn't know that I would have just gone there and behaved like a dundee, but the Holy Spirit gave me heads up. In school back then, we used to call it shukuli, gave me expo and said, this, and I, you know, when you say this to people, say, especially on social, they say, Fabu, this is not, I am a shoesie, who are you? No, it's not Fabu, this is real. The Holy Spirit gives heads up. Do this. He said, he will instruct you. Was that not what Jesus told us? He said, he will instruct you. He will help you. He will teach you what to say. Hallelujah. I have experienced it. And I've heard fathers who testified about it. Sadman shared here the other time about when he was in medical school, when he was going to write his exam. People have shared all manner of testimonies. Pastor Muyo has also shared how people will come with problems. Maybe times before, the Lord has brought a similar problem and he has solved it in a small way. And then when he now comes to that other one, and then people are like, wow. Nalayo, Holy Spirit has shown him by the small one that he saw before. Expo. So he said he will show you deep mysteries. And that's why he calls us custodians of deep mysteries, heavenly mysteries, kingdom mysteries. These are for our benefits also. That's the reason why you are different from the ordinary person out there who lacks the Holy Spirit in his life. Amen. I'll tell you something that I learned recently. In the force, one man in the police force, 40 civilians, that's why they call bloody civilian. 40 civilians equal to one policeman. 60 civilians equals to one army man. Now, somebody, when you meet someone, a policeman met someone and said, where's your receipt? The guy has paid his fees. He was fidgeting. He couldn't even say that he has paid. He said, come this way. And then he just moved, just like that. But then the other woman came and said, have you not paid? He said, yes, I've paid. So why did you tell him that you are paid? He was scared of the uniform. He said, you're looking at this uniform. If you know you are paid, why don't you want to say that you are paid? He was scared to, so that it won't look like he's, have you paid, Oga? He said, yes, my friend, go that way. And then he moved. This is just people, physical people with uniform. Pastor Bishop was teaching the other time. He said something. He said, if we know who we are spiritual beings. So we operate supernaturally. We have what we are loaded with is so much that it cannot be quantified even in the physical realm. Hallelujah. People are scared because they are ignorant of who they really are. Do you know who you are? You have God on your inside. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all loaded on your inside because you have God's word. Hallelujah. So when you do things with boldness. You approach it with boldness. Not that they ask you, are you sure you're okay? You say, no, I'm not fine. It's like that thing is still doing me. You don't even... So in your, you are speaking faith, but you're not exercising faith. How are you? You say, it is well, it is well, it is well. It is well, it is well. How are you? You say, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. But you are not sure. God's word is not, what do you call that thing they do when they say you want to pick answers randomly? Eh? It's not to be, you know, the God's word is not, you are sure. You can bank on it. Hallelujah. And that's what helps your walk easily as men at work. That's what helps us. Because you are sure. It's something, it's a clear directive that you can walk with. You can take it to the bank. The God's word say you are healed. Yes. So, are you healed? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. We saw testimonies in the scriptures. When those men, those lepers were prayed for, the one who went rejoicing and thanking with a grateful heart was what? Made whole. Others were just cleansed. Abi, if you, it's how you take God's word. It's how you take God's word. Amen. Verse 23 of Jude 1. Verse 23. He said, but others save with fear, pulling them out. Okay, go back to, let's take it from verse 20 again. He said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Go on, please. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Next. And on some, have compassion, making distinction, yes? But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. I used to have our old boys association. So we started a Lagos branch some years back. We were so close. We were so very close. But not anymore. Hi, hi, how are you doing? How's your family? How's everything? And that's all. As much as you love the people, the verse before was talking about compassion, pulling them with compassion. As much as you love them, he said, but say, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We don't hate people. We don't hate people. We express love. We show love towards you. But we hate the garment of what? Flesh. We hate the sinful. We hate things. We don't. The Bible says, flee from all appearances of what? Evil. He never said the devil catch you red-handed. No. Not yet, at least. But we run from it. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Why? Because before you know it, complacency, and then before you know it, you are already romancing sin. We don't hate the individual. Like they say, you don't throw away the child with the waiting bath water. You don't throw away the baby with the... So we are out to reach out. I'm saying this so that when you even want to reach out to colleagues or friends or people you want to preach to, when you see some dirty things that they do, Sedma was talking about that time about... How this guy is a church member and was expected to be living upright. And then someone said they caught him smoking and all that. And he didn't take it like, because sometimes there's a way you, I think when it was random, so he said something also related to that too. You don't want to win this battle and lose the person. Amen. So we must be wise. Yes, I can hate what you're doing, but not you. I love you with the love of the Lord. But you see that adulterous lifestyle, that drinking, smoking, and all manner of sin, we must help you eradicate it from your life. Hallelujah. Because you are a different person now. And I must embrace you as the new person that you are and help you shove, you know, put away that. Hallelujah. So, those my guys, I kept hammering on some things and they wouldn't stop. Every time we gather, there's a particular topic that must be, it's a norm, like they are still in secondary school. And I say, if I continue for this crowd, and that was it. So I dropped devotionals. Everybody respond. People go to do what they want to do and all that. But that is the limit. I had to set bounds. If the Bible advises us that we should guard our heart with all diligence, hallelujah. He said we should be wise as serpents. Amen. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. When you get home, you can read from verse 4 to 40. But I'll just talk on a few things here. So here, great works spread all over the city. And then I discovered that Philip had preached to the people and baptized them. But when Peter came, Peter laid hands on people and they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as I was studying, the Holy Spirit was helping me to understand something. Go where you are sent and do only what you are instructed to do by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Direction. Get clarity. Get clear direction of what God wants you to do. So it's possible to go. That's why in our programs, you don't see that it's the same thing that happens. Sometimes you come to School of Miracles and they are not calling anybody out for laying on of hands. It's as led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. There could be a service and you expect that said man will just call people and then he just preaches God's word and does it. Amen. There's a reason. The reason is when you follow God's clear direction, you can never be wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. So Philip had preached and baptized the people. Peter came and laid hands and they received baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Simon the sorcerer said, I want that power. He wants to buy it. As Peter said to him, he said, your money what? Perish with you. This power is not for show off. It's not political power that you want to dangle in the face of people. This is God's thing. It is sacred. Hallelujah. And what that taught me also is, if you are filled with God's Spirit, you carry something that is sensitive, something that is sacred. And so you should treat it as such, because you could be in a place and you are the reason someone would be alive and not die. You could be in a place and your inability to listen intently or pay attention to details or follow instruction would be the reason someone would die. It's very, very important. And that's why Paul will say, my life is not mine anymore. I don't own this. It belongs to the Lord. My own is just to follow. Stephen was teaching this morning in Bible school. He said, even if he means them calling you like mumu, be the mumu. Paul said invariably what he was saying in his word, in the word of God, was that I am now mumu for Christ. I go where he says I should go. I don't own this body anymore. I don't control it. Hallelujah. I don't own it. It's the Lord's now. Whatever he tells me to do is what I do. I have no power of my own. I don't do anything. He instructs me. He leads me. He, whatever he wants done is what is done. Amen. And then, if you read further down towards the end, that same Philip who just preached and baptized people, at the point I was thinking, I say, was he not filled? But it was Peter that laid hands on people. That same Philip, when he met the eunuch, and the man was going to, when Philip took him to the river, and then Philip was taken There's a name, Selma used to call it, that he was the first man that practiced disappearance. He was taken up. Wow. Wow. You see, these things, as much as they make us, as much as they amaze us, it's nothing compared to what we have now. Hallelujah. Or you don't know? Ah, you better know. There are times the Spirit of God comes, you know, and all that. But now, He dwells on our inside. Hallelujah. We are filled with the fullness of Him. Hallelujah. He disappeared and was later found in Azotus, another town. Ah! Hey! So Setman is preaching here. And all of a sudden, fume. They say Setman is in SGA, pardon. Ah! Hallelujah! You don't know what you have when you are filled with the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. You just know. And then somebody beside you is asking, say, how did you know? He said, I just know. How did you know? When we're growing, we didn't know what it was. When they ask us even, yeah, in church. We used to say it now, until Seth started teaching. Something was just telling me. Is that not what we were all saying? Something was just telling me that it's not something. That something is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's the promise of the Father. He said He will teach you all things. What's all things? All things. So, limitation only comes from you. It's you that will say, okay, no, I only want to learn about marriage. Oh, I want to learn only about finances. Oh, I want to. But if you are ready for all, He's ready to give you all. Like the typical example I love to always give. The Holy Spirit is ready like a full flowing river. Whatever you come with as your device or whatever you come with as your storage, whatever, to pick, that's what you feel. If you come with a spoon, you get a spoonful. If you come with a cup, you get a cup full. You come with a bucket, you get a bucket full. If you come with a tank, you get a tank full. How hungry are you? How willing are you? What's your level of hunger for Him? He is ready. He's flowing, ever flowing, nonstop. He's ready to dish out, to give, to fill you up. So those who are experiencing miracles, those who are experiencing the outflow of the power of God, it's not that God is partial. No. They are hungry and they saw it, they experienced it. Amen. You cannot buy the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be monetized. And that's why Peter said to the sorcerer, your money perish with you. You don't just become an engineer because you walk over and wore helmet. I saw another skit about this guy who was trying to connect wire in a meter. And then he walked over and helmet, and he used his teeth to hold it. And when the teammate, he ran and jumped fence. You don't just become an engineer because you wore. So you don't just display. Let me use the word for lack of a better word. You don't just manifest or display the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, because you come to church. Oh, somebody was giving ghost baths in the Bible. Oh, you don't know? Somebody was giving ghost baths in the Bible. Say, Paul, I know. Eh? Peter, I know. Jesus, I know. Divine, I know. I am divine. Who are you? You don't because you come to church and then some people will carry the Bible and put it under their pillow. And then ghost baths you will receive. It's not that. Not the word. Not the word. Let this word sink. So that
If something happens, something comes, you say, you bring it out. Even Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. The book of Luke. Was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. As devil bring, he bring you on. It is written. It is what is written that you quote, that you know, that is obeyed. Not at the ghost of passing grace. Said man and my pastor, both bars you will receive. It's not enough. Know God's word. Hallelujah. Know God's word and use it. Amen. Be filled with the fullness of God. So like I said, not because you wore coverall and helmet that makes you an engineer. You wear safety boots that makes you an engineer. You must be trained. There are things you need to know. It's the things you know, even as Pastor Moyuade now, he's wearing native. The engineer, oh, don't be deceived. He knows what to do. He can even hold wire there, even if he know what tactics to use. You say, go touch the same wire, it will shock you. One guy did it in my front. He held the wire and he said, later told me that he held his breath or so or something. But the guy, when he go touch him, electric shocked the guy. He asked and said, why he not shock you and they shock me? You don't know what you should know. So coming to church is not enough. Sitting on the bench is not enough. That you carry a big Bible is not enough. You must know the word. Study it. Eat this word. Hallelujah. Amen. You must undergo trainings. This is part of trainings. We get trained every morning in Bible school. You see people take their book and pen and write. It's training. Because you will need this training one someday. You will need it. Because there's a time where some things will happen. Pastor will not be there. It is you. It's your practical. Hey, that's when you will remember. I was taught in class on a Sunday morning. So and so time. That this. And then you bring out that word. It's that word that is your victory. Amen. Hallelujah. We must learn safety procedures also. Even as an engineer, you take trainings and you learn safety procedures. These are the things. One guy, we were told in a class how, I think HSC class, where one guy was walking and then from height, one guy was down walking, was welding some things, joining some things, and then the electrodes that he has used, he will put them aside. He will just throw them on the floor. He will just throw them on the floor. So this guy walking from height, just because he didn't see anybody around, that guy was a bit far, threw down the big hammer that he was using to walk. The hammer hit on the floor, landed on the new electrode this guy just put there that is still hot. As soon as the hammer hit on it, the electrode bounced and entered the guy's eye. So he wasn't wearing even his protective. They have this protective goggle also that they use. And they gave them all these safety trainings and all that. The guy was not wearing his goggle. He wasn't wearing a helmet. He was just carelessly walking. And then that happened. And he lost an eye. So in this also, not say because in a church, not God thing, and then you don't know. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. We have safety precautions too that we take. Pastor was teaching the other day. I said, we not call me and not there. Say you there, you can't carry Bible. They see you for brothel. Say you go and you are just born again. And not there, not call me. They'll not send you. So we have safety precautions also. Before you see people do things, they have grown to a certain level. Amen? Yes. I remember my friend when we just got born again. One of my closest friends. He was so zealous. Zealous. He would go to all this shrine and carry their mirinda that they use for this and just begin to drink. He would do any. He was just doing it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He wasn't even living right, but it was just, you know. So I'm saying that zeal is not even enough. Zeal is not enough. You must follow through and through. Follow through and through. Inasmuch as we don't go chasing demons and all that, it's because we know who we are. When you live right and you know God's word and you use it well, they run far from you because light itself expels darkness. But you can't be dilly-dallying and then you are one leg here, one leg there, and you want to do certain things. You are trading on dangerous grounds. They rush the guy to Uselu. You don't know where Uselu is. Uselu is in Benin. They rush the guy to Uselu. Uselu is like your Yaba left here. They rushed the guy to Yaba left. It took God's grace for him to get back to himself. It took God's grace. Hallelujah. So we must walk the path. We must follow through and through. Amen. Hallelujah. We must follow instructions as given by the Holy Spirit. We must follow instructions as given by the Holy Spirit. You can never miss it when you follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I read that part where Philip was caught up, I remember the scripture that jumped at me. It was talking about how God gives people speed also. It happens. I've had cases where I have a deadline to cash and it seems like there's no time and all that. And then the Holy Spirit just helped me. It's like what I experienced was like time was paused for me to meet up. That's what happened because all of a sudden I knew practically that there's no way I could measure up, look at the time. But I had the nudging to go on and not stop and not quit. And then somehow, there were delays and all of that. You think the Holy Spirit cannot break protocols and reorganize and reshape things just for you? He can. Amen. For the sake of one man, an entire Lazarus bus, an entire plane can be safe. But it's a man that knows that I am a man at work. Hallelujah. I have a duty here. Who was it that said, somebody asked him once, I can't remember if it was Kenneth Egan or Reverend Tux that was teaching, and they asked him once, are you not perturbed? I think they were in a flight or something. Are you not perturbed? Say, when I was going, I said I was going to come back. I not to say I did go die. So the devil can't mess with my head. Hallelujah. It's when you know who you are. A man at work is kitted, fully kitted. So the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness, talks about your helmet and everything. It talks about the entire armor. And so you know when you come out, not because they talk for mouth, say, or then shift or nothing, they go knock you, you go fall. But when you are fully kitted, you know who you are. Hallelujah. Even the devil can't mess with you. You know who you are. Your presence alone. Darkness flee. Demons will run away. You've not even opened your mouth. They will run. Not you are picking your phone. You're calling pastor 11:30 p.m. when pastor should be sleeping. He said, hey, pastor, the roof of my house is shaking. It's like that. There's a big bed there. And you are scared. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. One night, one of my daughters was feeling sick. I carried her. And I prayed. Amen. If you don't know what you should know, don't let the devil give you an unnecessary assignment. Amen. Second Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, quickly. Was talking about prophecy. I said, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. It's not manipulated. It's not man-made. So when the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that for it is God working in us both to will and do of his good pleasures, this is exactly what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit, holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will give you instructions, will direct you how to go, how to do. Put this first, put this first, put this first, put this there, and this next, take this step next, take this step next, and that, and then you just get there. How did you know? I just know. How did you know? I just know something. It's the Holy Spirit at work. Hallelujah. And mind you, the Holy Spirit will never give you instruction or tell you something that is something that negates God's word. He can never give you instruction or direct you in a way that thing you're going to do is against the word of God. No, it must be backed up with the word of God. You hear when Mrs. Sajira gave her points during Bible school, for those of you who were around, and said, my ass, what scripture? For everything, there must be a scripture. Find it. I'm having a headache or I'm sick, I'm feeling sick. There's scripture for it. Hallelujah. Healing is his children's bread. There's scripture for it. If it's your finances, there's scripture for it. Hallelujah. The cattle on 1,000 hills, they belong to my father. There's scripture for everything and anything. Hallelujah. When you find the scripture, you are almost there. So there are scriptural backings for everything. Amen. Acts 2, verse 1. I just remember how in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, just go to Acts, please. How Zechariah also was filled with the Holy Spirit immediately after his mouth was opened, and then he began to prophesy. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them what? Who gave? The Holy Spirit. How many of us have seen a master key before? We didn't hear master key. How many of us have seen a master key before? We've not seen it. Okay, you've heard about a master key before. What does it do? It can open multiple doors, can open anything. So you don't need to stress yourself. If you have that one key and there are 20 doors, you can just not that you are carrying bunch and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you're searching. The Holy Spirit gives utterance. He gives. So just imagine. They all began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. If the Spirit could give numbers of people. Sometimes we are in church and we are praying in tongues, and just imagine, all over around the globe, there are churches everywhere, people are praying, and the Holy Spirit is not diminished in any way. He spreads himself everywhere, and then people are flowing in his presence and all that. If he could do that, is it that minute concern about your health, finance, or whatever, or marriage issues that you think he cannot give you the expo or the secret to how to solve? That's way too small. I can do all things through what? Christ, who strengthens me. Christ has told you in the book of Luke, it's to your advantage that I go. Because I'm sending you the expo, the reliever, the helper, the one who you need. Hallelujah. Meaning, if I have the Holy Spirit, I have everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet, everybody. If I have the Holy Spirit, I have everything. I have everything. I was studying one day and a word hit me. What was that word? He said, anything and everything that you need in this walk is within and around you. Hallelujah. It's within and around you. You don't need it from somewhere else. It's within and around you. Anything and everything you will need in your Christian faith, in your walk with Christ, in this kingdom mandate, is within and around you. And really, I've seen it several times. Are there times that I run short of ideas? I don't even know what to do again. Yes. What do? I run to where I will get help. I run to my pastor. I say, I don't know what to do. And he helps me. So everything and anything that I need is within, inside me, or around me. So who you surround yourself with also matters a great deal. Who is connected to you? Who are you hooked up to? Who are you hooked with that you can run to or call for help? We're looking for pot one day. I needed to make, when you cook banga soup, it never they make sense until when you don't use that native pot, make them tick. For those who are ignorant, just don't worry. But those of us who know, no. To make the banga soup tick, because when it tick, now the anointing, they did the bottom. And I said, where am I going to get this pot from? I can't waste all these things doing this banga soup and nothing. And then I just remembered. And I called my mommy. I called mommy, okay, well. I said, we're looking for this pot. I said, my corner here, they sell them for market here. And before I got the mommy, I selected like a number of the pots. I said, hey, banga soup, we hear it today. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything and everything you need. Mike Mudok said, within 3 to at most 4 people, you must get that thing. That's even in terms of organizations and business and whatever. But I tell you, anything and everything you need is within and around you. So the relationship you build matters. I thank God for Setman, who has been teaching us a lot about relationship. Amen. Because this life we live has to do with us and God and humans as well. Build healthy relationships around you, in your workplace, whatever, anywhere you find yourself, because you sure need it. Amen. Let's just begin to thank God this morning. Let's begin to thank Him. Thank Him. Let's begin to thank Him this morning. Pray. He said the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. That means even the things that I do not know, I can depend on the Holy Spirit. He's my help. He's my help. He's a counselor. Even the things I do not have physical experiences about, He can flood my mind with ideas. He said the Holy Spirit will teach me what and how to say the things I need to say and do. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.